Keep boredom at bay in any room with reliably fast Wi-Fi throughout your home. All from Cox Panoramic Wi-Fi. Stream rom-coms in the kitchen. Binge biopics in the basement. And take your online teammates where they've never gone before. The guest room. Say goodbye to searching for a signal. And hello to Cox Panoramic Wi-Fi. Click to learn more. Speeds vary and are not guaranteed. In some cases, panoramic Wi-Fi pods sold separately may be required for extended coverage. Restrictions apply. Keep boredom at bay in any room with reliably fast Wi-Fi throughout your home. All from Cox Panoramic Wi-Fi. Stream rom-coms in the kitchen. Binge biopics in the basement. And take your online teammates where they've never gone before. The guest room. Say goodbye to searching for a signal. And hello to Cox Panoramic Wi-Fi. Click to learn more. Speeds vary and are not guaranteed. In some cases, panoramic Wi-Fi pods sold separately may be required for extended coverage. Restrictions apply.
Hey, folks, it's Michael Berry. And if you're looking for a new Chevy truck, the first place you want to go is Classic Chevy Sugarland and the new Classic Chevy Highway 6 at Beechnut. 281-491-9000. That's Classic Chevy Sugarland and the new Classic Chevy Highway 6 at Beechnut. Go see Jeff Sebastian, Tiffany Sebastian, and their whole team. 281-491-9000.
Everybody, I'm Ed Robinson, and welcome to another exciting edition of At the Rim. This is the show that gets you caught up on anything and everything happening around the NBA. Coming up on this edition of the program, we have comments from the Celtics and Warriors players at their media presser ahead of Game 2 of the 2022 NBA Finals. Of course, you know, Boston currently leads the series 1-0 as this show is airing. Of course, Boston went on to win Game 1 of the 2022 NBA Finals. Final score was 120-108. So again, we'll have comments from Celtics and Warriors players ahead of Game 2 of the 2022 NBA Finals. Now, normally on most shows, I always have my top three storylines, but I'm going to do something a little bit different today. I'm going to play just some snippets from Adam Silver and what he had to say at his press conference that he had given right before the start of the 2022 NBA Finals. Adam touched on some interesting points. First point that he mentioned, of course, for those of you that may be sleeping under a rock, the current agonizing ongoing situation that's happened with WNBA player Brittany Griner. Of course, back in February, it was reported that she had cartridges of cannabis oil in her suitcase, and she was detained by Russian authorities. She's been there since February. And for those of you that may not know why, you're probably saying, why was Brittany over in Russia? Well, Brittany, like a lot of WNBA players, they supplement their income in order to make ends meet. And, you know, this has been going on in women's basketball for a long time. But long story short, Brittany has been detained in Russia since February. And here's Adam Silver speaking on the Brittany Griner situation.
I didn't want to not mention Brittany Griner. Well, I'm here. It's been now over 100 days since she's been illegally held in Russia. I think it's something that all of us should be heard on, contacting your representatives and others. I will only say we are working in lockstep with the U.S. government and outside experts on trying to expedite her release in any way we can. Certainly, our hearts go out to her and her family, and just are eager for her safe return. And so I join my colleagues in the WNBA making reference to her as well.
All right, that audio was courtesy of the NBA, the National Basketball Association. So again, Adam Silver and the staff at the NBA, they've worked with the WNBA. But again, this issue is, in a nutshell, all that really Adam Silver and the NBA, from a basketball standpoint, they can only do so much. But again, this goes, as you may have heard Adam say, it's a very entrenched in political issues. The Department of Defense and, of course, the current administration and the White House would have to move things further in terms of bringing Brittany Griner back home to the United States. Another topic that Commissioner Silver touched on was the recent passing of Bob Lanier. Of course, Bob is a Hall of Famer, someone that's been a constant presence in the NBA for many decades, his Commissioner Silver on Bob Lanier.
Lastly, since we were all last here, we lost a really close friend and colleague, Bob Lanier. Since I joined the league 30 years ago, he seemingly was a constant presence in the league many of those years. He spent at the league office, first as David Stern's special assistant, then when I worked directly with him at that point, and then after David stepped down, he continued in a similar capacity working with me and my colleagues at the league office. He, earlier in his career, had been a president of the National Basketball Players Association. He, in essence, became our global ambassador. He traveled the world for the league. He was always a presence here at the finals for the community events we do in both cities. And I just want to say again, he'll be really is dearly missed by all of us. And it's just a bit of sadness to be at my first NBA Finals without him.
All right, again, that audio courtesy of the National Basketball Association and the NBA. And, of course, for those of you that have followed NBA basketball for a long time, Bob Lanier, again, a Hall of Famer and someone, even after his career, continued to be a presence at a lot of NBA events, particularly with whether it be at the All-Star Games, also with the NBA Stay in School Initiative, including the Basketball Without Borders program. Bob was a constant presence in many NBA events, and, of course, the Commissioner Adam Silver expressing his thoughts on the recent passing of Bob Lanier and how it's been different this finals this year with him not being present. Another issue that Commissioner Silver had touched on was the parity of teams that have played in the NBA Finals and not having the same teams playing over and over again. Here's Commissioner Silver on that topic.
I remember in 2018 there was this notion of fan fatigue after four straight Cavs-Warriors matchups. We've seen five different franchises win the East in the last 5 years, six different teams make the finals in the last 3 years. You've often said you don't care who wins. But I guess from a business standpoint, how important is it that it's not the same teams every year? And is that in any way beneficial to the league that there has been a bit of unpredictability?
Sure. You know, Tim, you used a great statistic that I could have used myself. So thanks for saying that. I mean, we've seen increased parity, increased competition around the league over the last several years. As you said, six different teams in the finals over the last 3 years. I mean, and when I say I don't care who wins, I mean, of course, I do care, though, about the platform that we're presenting and the competition itself. And anybody running a league wants to see, you know, not necessarily, in my mind, parity on the floor every year, but parity of opportunity. I mean, you also want a system where the best players, the best managed teams can also excel. So I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing unto itself if you have repeat teams in the finals or champions, frankly, like the Golden State Warriors that are now here back in the finals for the sixth time in 8 years. We do, though, focus a lot on ensuring through a salary cap system that teams, in essence, have the same fair opportunity to compete. And that is something we're always looking at as part of our system, something we're constantly talking to the Players Association about. And to me, that should be not just a concern shared by fans of all 30 teams, but for all players in the league, all 450 players presumably want an equal chance to win championships and be part of championship teams. So I'll only say I'm pleased where we are. I'm thrilled with the teams that are here in the finals. But it's something, at least in my time in the league, I think we've incrementally improved the system every time along the way so that we could have more and more top-tier teams and more competition throughout the league.
All right, again, that's Commissioner Silver talking about the parity of teams playing in the NBA Finals and in future finals of just keeping the competition equal as best as possible, seeing the best teams play at the highest level in the NBA, particularly when it comes to the NBA Finals. A recent controversial topic was the possibility of reducing the league schedule. I am not a fan of this at all, but there's been talks about this for several seasons now. Here's Commissioner Silver talking more about the possibility of reducing the league's schedule.
Injury's always been a part of the NBA, and, you know, load maintenance, load management over the last few years. You talked about this before, about looking at the potential reduction of games in the regular season. Where do things stand with that right now? Is that something that is, do you see that can be beneficial, or this is still up in the air?
So, Chris, to your point, it's something we've been talking a lot about the last few years. And I'm not against potentially changing the format of the season, even possibly shortening it a bit, if we can demonstrate that that's going to have a direct impact on injuries. And, for example, last season we played 10 fewer games and essentially had no impact. People seemingly quickly forgot. I mean, again, it was a function of COVID and our need to start the season later and end later, but we played a 72-game season instead of an 82-game season last year. And, yes, it's true, if players aren't on the floor, it reduces the chance they can get injured. But as I've said before, what we don't see is increased numbers of injuries as the season goes on. It's not as if because of fatigue over the course of a season you see more injuries. We do see a connection between actual fatigue, for example, from back-to-backs or threes in a row. We think that potentially can lead to more injuries. So I think the way we're trying to look at it now is, rather than think about reducing the number of games, we're both thinking from a competitive standpoint, is there a way to improve what to many people is a long regular season? And one of the ways we're thinking of doing that is an in-season tournament, something we've been talking a lot about. We're not there yet. We continue to talk to the competition committee about it, our team governors, the Players Association, to see, is there a way throughout the season to create more meaningful games, more games of consequence, potentially a tournament that would arguably replace some of the regular season games, but would be more meaningful. So I think generally we would be operating in the same footprint for a season, you know, beginning roughly the same point in October, ending around mid-June, but enhancing the competition in certain ways. And you just real quickly, you mentioned load management. I mean, that is something that we are concerned about at the league, meaning that we want to make sure we have a system where our best players are incentivized to be on the floor. At the same time, we obviously don't want to see them injured. And so what we're hoping is we can all work collectively, the 30 teams together, in a non-competitive way, together with our Players Association, and figure out what is optimal on these players' bodies so that they're incentivized to play but aren't overdoing it to the extent where they end up playing too much and pushing through injuries that ends up hurting their careers.
All right. Again, that audio is courtesy of the NBA, the National Basketball Association. And again, this has been a heated topic for quite a while now. Again, the possibility of maybe the NBA having a shortened season. I hope and pray that they don't do this, because let's just keep it an 82-game season. That's why you play 82 games, to find out who will be the top 8 seeds in the playoffs on both the Eastern Conference and the Western Conference. I was already not a fan of the whole play-in tournament, and I'm still not a fan of the play-in tournament. That doesn't make sense. And then on top of that, if you heard Commissioner Silver say the possibility of maybe having a mid-season tournament, that's not good at all. Maybe to try to incentivize things. The players are getting paid enough money as it is already. I think they just need to keep it an 82-game season, find a way to get the players involved in it. And on top of that, I think it could be – this is just my take on it. I think it needs to be more of – players need to take more advantage of rest time. Back in the day, I know I'm playing revisionist history for a moment, but back in the day, there were less distractions, no internet, no social media. Players were not as nosy as they are today, so people are more kind of in tune what other people are doing. People want to go on parties, and then on top of that, they say bigger, faster, stronger. It may be bigger, faster, stronger, but there's also more injuries involved in this, and I don't know, just the idea of just shortening the season is not good at all, because the players are still going to get their way regardless. There's still going to be load management. There's going to be a ton of stuff that's going to happen. Players are always going to curtail the system one way or another, and this is going to be interesting. I hope and pray that doesn't happen, but if it does, I'm not a fan of it. They need to keep an 82-game season, and they also need to just do away with any play with the play-in tournament and get rid of any of the possibility of a mid-season, in-season tournament. That's just not right at all. We'll touch more on that particular topic a little bit later, but also Commissioner Silver, also talked about the possibility of maybe changing the all-NBA team selection process. Here's what he had to say.
So for the second consecutive season, a player who finished second in the MVP voting did not make first-team all-NBA, but the player who finished third made first-team all-NBA. How much consideration is being given to altering that to mirror the all-star, where it's three front court, two back court, or no positions at all, into the larger context that it also has an impact on player salary and contracts?
So a few things packed into that question, Jeff. In terms of determinations for all-NBA, I think a fair amount of consideration is going into whether we should just really you, the way it works now, the media should just be picking the top players as to be picking by position. I think we're a league that has moved increasingly towards positionless basketball, and the current system may result in some inequities just based on the happenstance of what your position is. So that is something we're looking at. It's something that we will discuss with the Players Association, because it has impact on incentives in players' contracts, and has, you know, deep meaning for their legacy as well. So we will look at those things. In terms of the ultimate selection process, and to your point that in some cases can have a direct financial impact on a player's contract, right now we agreed with the Players Association to use those designations to trigger certain bonuses in players' contracts, frankly, because we couldn't come up with a better way that would feel objective to everyone involved. I think we all recognize that doing it on a purely pure stats basis or just using analytics, there'd be unfairness there because it doesn't pick up the intangibles. Certainly, I don't think anyone wanted the league office to do it, and so we came up with this proxy for the media to do it. I understand, though, from a player's standpoint, saying, can't believe the media has been given this power over me. I will say when you have 100 media members essentially on the panel, it seems to work its way out. But we're going to discuss that with the players and sit down once again and see if there's a better way to do it.
All right, again, that audio courtesy of the National Basketball Association and the NBA. Okay, Joel Embiid finished second in the MVP race. We saw Joel's frustration during the playoffs. You can tell he was really down about not winning the MVP, and there's some credibility to that as well, but Nikola Jokic had a fantastic year. He was my pick to win the MVP during the regular season of 2021-2022. Now, as far as changing the all-NBA team selection process, I'm old enough to remember when being a part of an all-NBA team was very monumental. When you think of names like Magic and Bird and Michael and Dr. J, and of course the late great Kobe Bryant, Shaquille O'Neal, Tim Duncan, Kevin Garnett, Ray Allen, Paul Pierce, just a ton of those stars that played. When you were selected all NBA, whether it be your first, second, or third team, that was very monumental. I don't know if changing the process of this, I think they just need to keep it the way it is, where you have a backcourt, front court, your two guards, your two forwards, and your center. I don't see anything wrong with that. I think also, as Commissioner Silver mentioned earlier about with having incentives in a contract and whatnot, that does make a difference, and it does impact a legacy. But I think if you're going to try to change something like that and just have players on an all-NBA team, whether it be first, second, or third, I think that takes away from, okay, who made it in the backcourt or who made it on the front court? That takes away just from the element of surprise in terms of teetering or trying to tweak the selection process. But either way, the next topic that Commissioner Silver talked about was the possibility of the Portland Trailblazers being sold. Again, for those of you that may not be familiar with what's going on with the Portland Trailblazers, the CEO and founder of Nike, Phil Knight, has recently put a bid in to buy the Portland Trailblazers. And I want to say the number is over $3 billion. I didn't say million. I said billion with a B. But again, recently Nike CEO and founder Phil Knight has put in a bid to buy the Portland Trailblazers. Here's Commissioner Silver on the possibility of the Trailblazers being sold.
There's been a bid made for the Portland Trailblazers, and then the Blazers saying that they're not for sale. Do you expect that team to be sold eventually, and is that a stipulation in Paul Allen's trust?
I don't know all the specifics of Paul Allen's trust. What I understand is that Jody Allen, who is Paul Allen's sister, is the trustee of the estate, and that at some point that the team will be sold. I don't have any sense of the precise timing. I read that same statement today in which she or someone on behalf of the estate said the team is not currently for sale. But at some point it will be for sale. I mean, this is a hugely complex estate, and even though it's already been several years, these things can take time. I mean, having said that, everybody has an interest in a smooth transition. I think Jody has been an excellent steward of the team in the meantime. I'll say Portland has been a wonderful community for the NBA. The team has been there over 50 years now. And, you know, my preference would be that team remain in Portland as part of this process. So it will work its way out, but I know Jody and her advisors are very focused on it. So as to the timing, that is something that her brother left in her hands.
All right, again, that audio courtesy of the NBA. Now, as far as the city of Portland is concerned, we know that Portland, Oregon is a great city. It's a great NBA city. As Commissioner Silver mentioned, that the Trailblazers have been in that city for over 50 years. And if you know about the pedigree and the lineage of the Trailblazers franchise with Bill Walton and Maurice Lucas, and also with Clyde Drexler and Terry Porter, the late Clifford Robinson, also the late Jerome Kersey as well. And then you have the late Kevin Duckworth as well. And then with the Trailblazers, currently with Dame Dolla, Damian Lillard. So the Trailblazers are very important to the Pacific Northwest. Remember, the Supersonics aren't in Seattle anymore. There's currently at the moment no NBA basketball in the city of Seattle. So the Trailblazers are really what's popping in terms of NBA basketball in the Pacific Northwest. Now, when you talk about Phil Knight, who is the CEO and founder of Nike, I mean, the man carries a lot of weight. The Nike brand is just synonymous. We'll see what happens with that. And, of course, with the Jody Allen, who is Paul Allen's sister. Of course, Paul Allen was the owner of the Seattle Seahawks of the NFL. So we'll see what happens with that. But Phil Knight has put a bid in to buy the Portland Trailblazers. So we'll see what happens with that going forward. Another issue that has impacted not just the NBA, but the world, all over the world, COVID-19. And Commissioner Silver speaks on the ongoing issue of COVID-19.
As you look ahead to next season, do you anticipate that a positive COVID test will still be a disqualifying event for league personnel?
Boy, that's a really interesting question. I mean, because, of course, now, and I don't know if it's analogous or not, there are other viruses where the flu, for example, historically, it's been a determination from the player and team or player's doctor as to whether it's appropriate for them to be out on the floor. Ultimately, I think that's a bigger issue than the NBA. I don't think we're looking to be a trendsetter. I think we want to be mindful of the impact that an infected player could have, not just on other players on the floor, other people who are in the arena. You know, we have an issue right now with broadcasters who are out with COVID. So it's a pretty close community. So that's an area where we've had a fantastic panel of doctors who've been working with us since March of 2020 when we shut down. And I think we will both look to them to make a recommendation, but then we'll look to see what's happening in greater society as well.
All right, again, that audio courtesy of the NBA. So basically, Commissioner Silver just talking about continuing situation with COVID-19. COVID-19 is a fluid situation. Again, I'm not going to get into the medical aspects and the public health aspects of it, but what I will say is that as far as COVID-19 is concerned, it's a fluid situation that continues to impact daily lives, and then with variants that are out in terms of dealing with this ailment and with this immune condition, one can only wonder, not just in terms of how the NBA will handle this going forward, but just how we'll handle it in everyday life. All right, I want to move along now to also Commissioner Silver talked about the NBA expanding possibly to Seattle and Las Vegas. There's been rumors about the NBA could expand and possibly bring back a Seattle franchise, and also Las Vegas could be brought to the NBA, the possibility of Seattle and Las Vegas coming to the NBA. Here's Commissioner Silver and his thoughts.
There's some talk I hear that the NBA may be expanding to Seattle and Las Vegas after the 2024 season. Your thoughts on expansion? You mentioned top-tier talent. Of course, you'd have more players being able to play in the NBA. Would that affect at all the level of talent because of expansion?
So just to answer the first part of your question directly, that talk is not true. At least maybe there are people talking who aren't at the league office about us potentially expanding after the 24 season. We are not discussing that at this time. As I've said before, at some point, this league will invariably expand. It just is not at this moment that we're discussing it. But to your question, one of the factors in expanding is the potential dilution of talent. As I've said before, I find it remarkable that when you have the second most played sport in the world after soccer, you know, tens of millions of, now just talking on the NBA side, of young men playing this game, and then you have the 450 best in the world in this league, that there's a few of them who separate themselves even among those 450 as the very best of the best. But there is then a fall-off, a drop-off in talent after that. So expansion does create a certain amount of dilution, and even if it's sort of adding another 30 players or so that are roughly comparable, there still are only so many of the truly top-tier super talents to go around. So that is something on the mind of the teams as we think about expansion. But those are wonderful markets. You know, as again, I've said before, we were in Seattle. I'm sorry we're no longer there. We have a WNBA team in Seattle in a almost brand new building that's doing spectacular. And Las Vegas, where we'll be at our summer league in July, has shown itself to be a great pro sports market as well. So we'll be looking at some point, but there's no specific timeline right now.
All right, again, that audio courtesy of the NBA. And again, the reporter asked Commissioner Adam Silver about the possibility of the NBA expanding to Seattle and Las Vegas after 2024. Let me be the first to say Seattle, great city, and Seattle was also one of those great sports cities, particularly a great NBA city. For those of you, for those listeners that may not remember the Seattle Supersonics, if you go and just look up the history of those players that played for that franchise, like Dennis Johnson and Gus Williams and Jack Sikma, and also you can remember players like Xavier McDaniel and Nate McMillan and Derek McKee, and also Tom Chambers and Sean Kemp and Gary Payton and Detlef Schrempf, and of course Ray Allen that was there, and the one season that Kevin Durant was there. So they have been trying since the early 2000s to get NBA basketball back to Seattle, and Seattle is deserving of an NBA team. We mentioned how the Seattle Storm have done well in the WNBA. Seattle, if Seattle gets an NBA franchise, which I think they will get an NBA team sometime in the future. I know Russell Wilson, when he was playing with the Seahawks, I know he was heavily involved in getting the bid, trying to have a proposal sent to the NBA to try to bring NBA basketball back to Seattle. I know Kevin Durant, you know, even though he plays in Brooklyn, he still has close ties to the Seattle community, and he's been on the forefront of the opportunity of trying to bring NBA basketball back to Seattle. As far as Las Vegas is concerned, again, Las Vegas has the NFL with the Raiders and a new stadium. The WNBA is there. They're thriving with the Aces. And Las Vegas could possibly have an NBA team. We'll see. I mean, if anything, I think Seattle would be the first city to get it first, and then maybe Las Vegas could be added a little bit later. But moving on now to some other topics that Commissioner Silver had touched on in his press conference before the start of the NBA Finals. For those of you that may not be familiar, may not remember, the NBA Finals games format was never like that. It was always, at one time, well, for a long period of time, it was always 2-3-2. And what I mean by that is this. Let's say, for instance, currently we have Boston and Golden State playing one another. And if it was the old 2-3-2 format, it would be two games at Golden State, three games in Boston, and two games at Golden State. But currently, the current NBA Finals games format, two games in Golden State, two games in Boston, and then it would be one game in Golden State, and then one game in Boston. And if there's a game seven, it would be one game in Golden State. So again, the format would be 2-2-1-1-1. Two games in Golden State, two games in Boston, one game in Golden State, one game in Boston, and one game in Golden State. That's the current NBA Finals games format. It's currently 2-2-1-1-1 instead of the previous format some years back when it was 2-3-2. Here's Commissioner Silver on a reporter asking him about key NBA Finals games format.
You've got a coast-to-coast finals on your hands here, and the possibility of extra flights cross-country by your teams. I know their travel days built in, but are you a little bit nostalgic for the old 2-3-2?
Not one bit. Honestly, that was one of the first things I changed when I became commissioner, is moving back to this 2-2-1-1-1 model. It just feels, as long as the flight is, and I flew from New York today, yes, it's a long trip going from coast to coast, but we just feel it's better from a competitive standpoint. It always felt to me in all my years in the league before we switched back to this format that, first of all, the players are used on their bodies to the 2-2-1-1-1 format from the earlier rounds, and it just always felt that it was never even sure where the unfairness lay, but the three in that second city just felt long and arduous. And so we have beautiful planes in this league. It's a long flight, but I, and again, it's tough on everybody's body. It's tough on the media having to go back and forth across the country, but it feels still like it's the right format.
All right, that audio courtesy of the NBA, and I think it's the right format as well. Let's keep 2-2-1-1-1. I love it because it adds to the element of surprise. If the series goes a bit longer, it gives that other team that may not have the home court advantage, it gives them at least one more crack of either giving the fans a one last home game or possibly evening out in an important series. So I agree with Commissioner Silver on this one. Let's keep the 2-2-1-1-1 format. Also, Commissioner Silver talked about the possibility of the WNBA having a team in the future in San Francisco with possible expansion of the WNBA, maybe having a team in San Francisco. Here's Commissioner Silver.
You've referenced the WNBA a couple times. There's been a lot of talk about expansion in that league, and particularly here there's been several groups interested in bringing a team to the Bay Area. What are your thoughts on that possibility and specifically this market?
Number one, this is a fantastic basketball market and has historically been a great women's basketball market as well. For those may recall, there was another league that formed, the ABL, that at the same time that the WNBA launched, and they had a successful team here in San Francisco. And the governor of the Warriors, Joe Lacob, has talked also about bringing a WNBA team here, and they're obviously great operators. So I'm definitely in favor of it, but again, I will defer to my colleague, Kathy Engelbert, who is the commissioner of the WNBA. I know she's talked about the desire to expand at the same time. She's very focused on having a strong economic model with the current 12 teams. So, I mean, I think similar to what I'm saying on the NBA side, I mean, although she's got a lot more expansion, down the road probably than we do, but I think she's doing a fantastic job running that league, and I think once she feels that sort of all the proper building blocks are in place with the existing 12 teams, no doubt she'll turn to expansion, and I'm sure San Francisco will be on her list.
All right, again, that audio courtesy of the NBA, and I think San Francisco would be a great WNBA market. Of course, the sports teams are plentiful in the San Francisco Bay Area. Of course, you have the 49ers playing in Santa Clara. You've also got the Oakland A's. Also, there's the San Jose Earthquakes of Major League Soccer, MLS. Of course, the Golden State Warriors in the NBA playing in San Francisco. And the San Francisco Bay Area is a prime area, not just in terms of sports, but also more importantly, just of lifestyle. Of course, with Silicon Valley and a lot of money through the technology sector and whatnot, and of course with the liberal lifestyle of the San Francisco Bay Area, it's amazing that San Francisco doesn't have a WNBA team as of yet. It's amazing to me. I know their teams, well, as far as the West Coast is concerned, in the WNBA, where you have the Las Vegas Aces, followed by the Los Angeles Sparks, and, of course, you have the Seattle Storm. Now, previously, there was a team in Northern California, in the, in the Central Valley, that was the Sacramento Monarchs. So it was close proximity to the Bay Area. But, man, definitely when it comes to sports, and not just its sports, but just the way of life in the San Francisco Bay Area. Again, of course, how could I forget about the San Francisco Giants of Major League Baseball? So much happening in the Bay, and I think the WNBA needs to have a team in San Francisco. It's just so long overdue. Commissioner Silver was asked next about the process of bringing in more black head coaches in the NBA.
All-Star break a year ago, there was a lot of concern about the lack of black head coaches in the NBA, and now there's, with the addition of Darvin Ham, there's 15 with the opening still available. What do you think has changed during that time? And I know I've talked to Mark Tatum a lot about it, but what kind of things have you guys done in the last couple of years that you perhaps made teams more aware of qualified African-American candidates in a league that's predominantly black?
One of the things we've done, I've talked about this before, and I've, this isn't unique to the NBA, and I've learned this from other businesses, is that you have to talk about these issues all the time. I mean, if you care about diversity and inclusion in your workplace, you got to look at the data. You got to constantly present it to your colleagues, to your department heads, to your teams, and it has to become a focus. And it's my job, in part, to say that's a priority for this organization. At the same time, having said that, well, I'm particularly proud of those numbers, and roughly 50% of our head coaches are black now. The goal is that that's not newsworthy, and that when people are hired, the first reaction isn't the color of their skin. I don't want to be naive either, though, because I know that what we do in this league is important symbolically, not just for sports, but for other industries, and people watch us all around the world. I'm also putting aside the color of the skin of those coaches. What we're also seeing, and this is something we very much focused on, is the emergence of a whole new class of former players who have moved into head coaching positions. Incidentally, thank you, Greg Popovich. He practically runs an academy there for future coaches, and not just coaches, but team executives. I mean, he's done a fantastic job. And what we see at the league office is that if we focus on the issues, and I remember Rick Carlisle came to us as head of the Coaches Association of the league a few years ago, to Kathy Behrens, who's here with me, and Orr Stewart, head chief people officer at the league, and said, we all collectively need to do a better job. And one of the ways we decided was, again, technology helps, having a better database so that head coaches who are looking for assistance or team governors who are looking for coaches had a database which could quickly see who's available, who's interested in coaching, how much experience do they have. So, I mean, these changes come only incrementally. It doesn't help just to bang the pulpit and say, go do this. I think you got to work with people. You got to understand what the obstacles are. And the follow-up to your question, which might come, is what about the rest of the positions in the league? And I'm proud of the job we've done in the league office. We're making a lot of progress in terms of general managers, team presidents, both on the basketball side and the business side, but more work to be done.
All right, that audio again, courtesy of the NBA, and more work continues to be done. More work needs to be done in terms of bringing in more black head coaches in the NBA. It's a tough process, but it's always tough when you don't own the league. You're a part of the league, but you don't own the league, so it can be a very slippery slope, and only time will tell as more initiatives will be set up in terms of bringing in more black head coaches. NBA, and finally, Commissioner Silver was asked about the possibility of bringing an NBA All-Star game to the city of Boston in the near future.
The Celtics are preparing an application for an All-Star game. They haven't hosted since 1964. Would you encourage such application, and are NBA cities starting to line up applications in it, or are you having trouble getting cities to want to host All-Star games?
I encourage that application from Boston. It's a wonderful city. Obviously, we'll be there soon. There was a period, I don't know, maybe it seems 10-plus years ago, where it became disfavored to have All-Star games for whatever reason, and now they're back. No, I got a long list of NBA cities that would like to have All-Star. It's not even a game anymore. It's not even a weekend. It's a week of activities. We're thrilled to be in Utah. You know, it's not even just Salt Lake City next year, but it's Utah and it's Salt Lake City environs of, you know, they push it out to skiing and hiking and the mountains and everything else. So it's, for us, we only have that as our neutral site event, meaning where the league can host guests from around the world and has lots of tickets. We're scrounging for tickets here like everybody else in San Francisco, and we'll be in Boston. So it's a great opportunity for us, and also just we love it as a week to shine the world's attention on basketball.
All right, again, that audio courtesy of the NBA. The last time the city of Boston hosted an NBA All-Star game was 1964. So it's been a long time. And since that period of time, the league has expanded. And, of course, more cities have joined the league. And, of course, the proposals have been very tight and the proposals have been very competitive. But it's been long overdue. I didn't know it was that long that the city of Boston had not hosted, had went that long without hosting an NBA All-Star game. Again, the last time the city hosted an All-Star game was 1964. I think this is kind of a travesty because, again, Boston's one of those original NBA cities and is definitely deserving of hosting another All-Star game. I mean, you have cities, particularly around February, March, in that time frame where in the NBA All-Star game has done magnificent in your cold weather cities during that particular time, of course, with the likes of Chicago. Also, I believe New York City has hosted several NBA All-Star games, just to name a few. Philadelphia has hosted several NBA All-Star games. Also, in Ohio, before Cleveland, it was Richfield, which is a suburb outside of Cleveland. They've hosted several NBA All-Star games. So, again, the city of Boston, with that rich NBA history, definitely deserves the chance to host an NBA All-Star game in the future. Now, here's some information to pass along to you. Portland, Sacramento, Memphis, and Oklahoma City are the only current NBA cities that have not yet hosted an NBA All-Star game. Let me say that one more time. Portland, Sacramento, Memphis, and Oklahoma City are the only current NBA cities that have not yet hosted an NBA All-Star game. The Kings did host two All-Star games when they were in Rochester in 1956 and in Cincinnati in 1966. Again, the Kings did host two All-Star games when they were in Rochester in 1956 and in Cincinnati in 1966. And the Thunder had hosted it twice when they were in Seattle, when the Supersonics were in Seattle. In those years were 1974 and 1987. But again, the current NBA cities that have not yet hosted an NBA All-Star game is Portland, Sacramento, Memphis, and Oklahoma City. And I hope in the near future that those cities will get an opportunity to host an NBA All-Star Weekend. And, of course, Boston definitely needs to host one in the near future. So currently, last year in 2021, the city of Atlanta hosted an NBA All-Star game. Then in 2022, it was Cleveland that did a solid job. And then next year's NBA All-Star game will be in Salt Lake City, Utah. And as you heard Commissioner Silver saying, that it's going to be an interesting, it's going to be a week of events with skiing and all those type of winter activities to take place in Salt Lake City. Then in 2024, the NBA All-Star game will be in Indianapolis. So definitely, hopefully Boston can get back and host an NBA All-Star game. I want to piggyback to the topic about Commissioner Silver speaking on the possibility of reducing the league schedule. I'm going to play what he said one more time, and then I'm going to play what ESPN NBA analyst Richard Jefferson had to say on this topic. First, here's Commissioner Silver.
Injury's always been a part of the NBA, and, you know, load maintenance, load management over the last few years. You talked about this before, about looking at the potential reduction of games in the regular season. Where do things stand with that right now? Is that something that is, do you see that can be beneficial, or this is still up in the air?
So, Chris, to your point, it's something we've been talking a lot about the last few years. And I'm not against potentially changing the format of the season, even possibly shortening it a bit, if we can demonstrate that that's going to have a direct impact on injuries. And, for example, last season we played 10 fewer games and essentially had no impact. People seemingly quickly forgot. I mean, again, it was a function of COVID and our need to start the season later and end later, but we played a 72-game season instead of an 82-game season last year. And, yes, it's true, if players aren't on the floor, it reduces the chance they can get injured. But as I've said before, what we don't see is increased numbers of injuries as the season goes on. It's not as if because of fatigue over the course of a season you see more injuries. We do see a connection between actual fatigue, for example, from back-to-backs or threes in a row. We think that potentially can lead to more injuries. So I think the way we're trying to look at it now is, rather than think about reducing the number of games, we're both thinking from a competitive standpoint, is there a way to improve what to many people is a long regular season? And one of the ways we're thinking of doing that is an in-season tournament. Something we've been talking a lot about. We're not there yet. We continue to talk to the competition committee about it, our team governors, the Players Association, to see, is there a way throughout the season to create more meaningful games, more games of consequence, potentially a tournament that would arguably replace some of the regular season games, but would be more meaningful. So I think generally we would be operating in the same footprint for a season, you know, beginning roughly the same point in October, ending around mid-June, but enhancing the competition in certain ways. And you, just real quickly, you mentioned load management. I mean, that is something that we are concerned about at the league, meaning that we want to make sure we have a system where our best players are incentivized to be on the floor. At the same time, we obviously don't want to see them injured. And so what we're hoping is we can all work collectively, the 30 teams together, in a non-competitive way, together with our Players Association, and figure out what is optimal on these players' bodies so that they're incentivized to play but aren't overdoing it to the extent where they end up playing too much and pushing through injuries that ends up hurting their careers.
All right, again, that audio courtesy of the NBA. Now, here is ESPN NBA analyst Richard Jefferson sharing his opinion on the possibility of the NBA shortening the regular season in the future.
I think it's absurd. I think this is let me I just got stretch here. This is my issue right here, right? Is that you have game readies, You have Normatex. There was years ago where players used to not travel. They would not travel commercial. We have eliminated back-to-backs. We now have a week-long all-star break instead of like 3.5 days.
Yep.
And I remember guys used to have to catch flights, play the last game on Thursday, play in the game on Sunday, and then you would have a game on Tuesday, Wednesday. They have done every single thing. Every team now has sleep staffs. They have extra training staff. When I came into the league, you had two doubled as an equipment manager. Now you have massage therapists that travel with teams. Now guys are, you want to shorten the season? Like, how much more do we have to make this coddling and all of this stuff go with the players? It makes absolutely no sense. Professional sports is not good on your body. It's supposed to separate the people that can do it from the people that can't do it. And while we do want our best product on the floor, part of greatness is longevity. That's what Michael Jordan, that's what Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, that's what LeBron James, all of these guys, we talk about their greatness over a long period of time. And to keep eliminating this and dialing back to the point where it's like there's nothing else for the players to do, I think it is a joke. I think they should never do this. Now, if you were talking about the in-season tournament, I think that's 100% maybe if you wanted to just have a little bit more space. But this right here is the epitome of coddling players to make sure that everything is okay, on top of the fact that players are taking rest days. On top of the fact that they're taking rest days right now. So how are you going to give them rest days and then say, well, we're going to shorten it to 60 games. We're going to shorten it to 70 games. At the end of the day, they're still going to take time off. The Did money. They make- oh, they making all that you. Money.
I don't think anyone else is
going to
be yet.
These are the teams. These are the owners need to get on these. It's not just the players.
Thank
don't say
you.
The players. It's literally – I've seen guys have a thumb injury and not be able to play in back-to-back because they didn't want their conditioning to be off. Right? Like, if you have a thumb injury, you should be in conditioning. And I'm going to stop because I'm getting too excited here. But the fact that we want to talk about shortening the season now with all of this stuff, you tore your ACL. I've missed time before this. And it ain't just because of that. If guys aren't conditioning 24 hours a day to make sure that their bodies are taken care of, that's on them and that's on the team. But shortening the season, you're going to mess with records. You're going to mess with numbers. You're going to mess with so much of our basketball because this group or the way that's handled right now can't handle it. I'm off that.
All right, again, that audio courtesy of ESPN, ESPN NBA analyst Richard Jefferson, very emphatic in sharing his opinion on why he feels that the NBA should not even entertain the possibility of shortening a regular season schedule. And I share the same sentiment with him. Everything is handed to the players. There's a longer All-Star break. They have a week off as a result of the All-Star break. Flights are everything's catered to them. They have sleep schedules. There's dietitians. There's people that are working around the clock to make sure the players have everything that they need. And I don't know. They just need to keep it the way that it is. Have the 82-game regular season. That's what you have in order to earn that right to earn a possible playoff spot in whether you're playing in the Eastern Conference or the Western Conference. All right, when we come back from the break, we'll have some comments from Celtics and Warriors players ahead of Game 2 of the 2022 NBA Finals. I'm Ed Robinson, and you're listening to At the Rim.
If you are serious about selling your vehicle, I don't mean a looky-loo. If you are serious about selling your vehicle and you want top cash and you want one call or one website where you're going to get top cash because you don't want to have to look around and compare, go to the best first. Call 87 Car Bingo or just go to carbingo.com. You'll get a real offer in 2 minutes that you'll want to accept. They'll even come pick it up from you. 87 Car Bingo, carbingo.com.
Driveway wants to know, what's your happy place? A hammock on the beach? A super chill Zen garden? Snuggling with your cat on the couch? Wherever your happy place is, think about buying a car from there. Welcome to Driveway.com, where you can feel completely in control of your car buying experience. At Driveway, we believe in upfront pricing and online convenience. Buy your next car from your happy place at Driveway.com. Driveway wants to know, what's your happy place? A hammock on the beach? A super chill Zen garden? Snuggling with your cat on the couch? Wherever your happy place is, think about buying a car from there. Welcome to Driveway.com, where you can feel completely in control of your car buying experience. At Driveway, we believe in upfront pricing and online convenience. Buy your next car from your happy place at Driveway.com. Driveway wants to know, what's your happy place? A hammock on the beach? A super chill Zen garden? Snuggling with your cat on the couch? Wherever your happy place is, think about selling a car from there. Welcome to Driveway.com, where you can feel completely in control of your car selling experience. At Driveway, we give you our best price up front and 7 days to accept. Sell your car from your happy place at Driveway.com. Driveway wants to know, what's your happy place? A hammock on the beach? A Zen garden? Snuggling with your cat on the couch? Wherever your happy place is, think about buying or selling a car from there. Welcome to Driveway.com, where you can feel completely in control of your car buying or selling experience. At Driveway, we believe in giving you our best price up front to keep you in the super chill zone. Buy or sell your next car at Driveway.com. Driveway wants to know, what's your happy place? A hammock on the beach? A super chill Zen garden? Snuggling with your cat on the couch? Wherever your happy place is, think about selling a car from there. Welcome to Driveway.com, where you can feel completely in control of your car selling experience. At Driveway, we give you our best price up front and 7 days to accept. Sell your car from your happy place at Driveway.com.
145 over 92.
180 over 111.
182 over 100. And I had a heart attack and a cardiac arrest and then a stroke.
This is what high blood pressure looks like. You might not feel its symptoms, but the results from a heart attack or stroke are far from invisible or silent.
My memory is shot.
When I woke up, I couldn't speak.
I can't button up a shirt. I can't run.
I've had to learn to swallow again.
That's the only movement that I have. And I'm 33, so I never see this coming.
If I would have followed a treatment plan, I would not be in this situation.
Had I done this, had I done that,
hell, I messed up.
Get back on your plan, or talk with your doctor to create an exercise, diet, and medication plan that works for you. Go to loweryourhbp.org.
Head to toe, everything's changed. Head to toe.
BetMGM is pitching baseball fans a chance to swing for the fences. Register using code EASY200 and win $200 in free bets when you place a $10 moneyline wager on any Major League Baseball game and either team hits a home run, regardless of your bet's outcome. Enjoy baseball like never before with BetMGM's daily promotions at your fingertips all season long. Sign up today with the King of Sportsbooks. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. Louisiana only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable free bets or site credit. Free bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700 in partnership with Sam's Town Shreveport Casino.
Street King, yeah. They can get you anything. Uh-huh. New wheels for your ride if you want to be a Street King.
Yeah. It's time for summer with Street King's Back to the street sale. Get 20-inch wheel and tire sets starting at just $50 a week. Or 22 starting at only $60 a week. Brands like Azara, Cavallo, VCT, and more. Use their 90-day same-as-cash plan. Street King is loaded up with off-road packages. Brands like Fuel, XD, Moto Metal, Monster, and more. Located in Baton Rouge at 7221 yeah. Airline Highway, just north of Greenwell Springs Road. Google Street King or visit GoStreetKing.com.
Street King, yeah. They can get you anything. Uh-huh. New wheels for your ride if you want to be a Street King.
Yeah. It's time for summer with Street King's Back to the street sale. Get 20-inch wheel and tire sets starting at just $50 a week. Or 22 starting at only $60 a week. Brands like Azara, Cavallo, VCT, and more. Use their 90-day same-as-cash plan. Street King is loaded up with off-road packages. Brands like Fuel, XD, Moto Metal, Monster, and more. Located in Baton Rouge at 7221 yeah. Airline Highway, just north of Greenwell Springs Road. Google Street King or visit GoStreetKing.com.
King. All right, everybody, welcome back to the program. So now the stage is set for game two of the 2022 NBA Finals between the Boston Celtics and the Golden State Warriors. Of course, Game 1 belonged to the Boston Celtics, beating Golden State 120-108. Boston leads the series 1-0. Now, ahead of Game 2 of the series, Boston Celtics head coach Ime Udoka coached an effective game, beating the Warriors in Game 1. Here's Coach Udoka speaking to the press.
In between the games, time off after the Miami series, so that's how he reacts best, obviously, is with rest and treatment. And so not having every other day for a while since Game 3 of Milwaukee, that should benefit him going forward. And then from there, it's just discussion, and you know, I've let him know pretty much, play the game. If you don't need to practice, shoot around. I don't need to see you on the court for the rest of the season until game time, if that benefits you. So he kind of gets what he needs as far as that, watches what he needs to watch, and really more mental than physical.
Brian on the left.
Ime, is there anything you can do at this point to fix what seems to be an issue in these third quarters?
I mean, we understood and made it pretty clear that Golden State is the best third quarter team to play postseason this year. You know, it seems like the little things come back to bite us at times, and that quarter specifically coming out with a few turnovers. And then they got, you know, four offensive rebounds that directly led to baskets. And so Looney had his way a little bit there. He had a good first half overall. They had six, but to get four or five in that quarter, you know, and the extra shots obviously hurt us. But, yeah, that's something that we need to do. We talk about starts of games, and third quarter is not much different from that. So got to be better in that area, not get ourselves behind the eight ball, and then have to play uphill the rest of the way.
Jay?
You're a very direct guy. It seems like you just want to put stuff out there on the table and then kind of deal with it. What was the process like of getting the players to do that with each other and just be direct and honest with stuff with each other and kind of get through all that together?
Yeah, I think the fact that the core has been around each other for a while, they could kind of do that. It was just a matter of delivery and accountability with yourself. As you know, you say something, but you're doing the same. You guys are going to look at that a certain kind of way. And so I think once they saw it coming from me, and we encouraged dialogue and, you know, debate, discussion, and criticism, it's how you deliver it. But we're all on the same page with the same goal. And so it's more so how you, you know, deliver and receive the message. And so I've mentioned we don't really have a lot of sensitive guys, and they get on each other. And I've encouraged that not to only come from the coaching staff, but to come from amongst themselves. And you can see that in every time out and on the court and in the locker room. Every time we come to a huddle, come to halftime, they're already in there talking things out before we get there. And so that growth has been good for our group.
All right, that's Celtics head coach Ime Udoka, that audio courtesy of the NBA. And here's Celtics guard Marcus Smart speaking to the media.
The versatility in each role. You know, no offense to those other teams, but, you know, it was always somebody on the court for us that we had to, you know, cover for. And, you know, teams did a good job of exploiting that. And especially in the playoffs, it's all about adjustments and matchups. And, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. So somebody would always pick on a guy that we had that we would always have to help, and it would put a strain on our defense. This year, kind of tough to do that because in every position, you know, everybody can hold their own in each. And and switch and guard multiple positions, and that's what makes us stronger.
On the left, second row, second seat, Mark Murphy.
Hey, Marcus. What kind of adjustment do you anticipate? They gave you guys some pretty good space to shoot the last game. Were you surprised by that, and do you see that tightening up?
I wouldn't say we were surprised. You know, when you got two great players in Jalen and Jason on your team, everybody's focused on those guys, and to make everybody else beat you and you live with the results. We understood it's been like that for us this whole season, you know. Guys have been really making us prove it, and we just continue to do that. So the adjustment I can see them making is, you know, just a little bit more tighter on us. And you know, trying to make our shots even tougher, not that open, but we're basketball players, just like those guys, and we're going to have to adjust to whatever they do, just like they're going to have to adjust for us.
All right, again, that audio courtesy of the NBA, that Celtics guard, Marcus Smart. Jaylen Brown had an opportunity to speak to the media. Here's what he had to say.
It's one thing watching it on film and then
going against it live and in person. Golden State is, you know, a generational team, especially their core group, you know, and they can score points in bunches and have a lot of offensive firepower. And our job is to try to slow it down and negate it. You know, every possession matters. It's the NBA Finals, so we got to just go into it with the mindset that we got to put our best foot forward and play some really good basketball if we plan to win any game. So I'm looking forward to the challenge. I know our group is looking forward to the challenge as well. We haven't been consistently as great in the third quarter, but, you know, all the other quarters matter too. So we just got to come out and play basketball and try to take away what they do best, which would be we got our work cut out, but I believe in us.
Celtics guard Jaylen Brown saying that they have their work cut out for them. Of course, when you're going up against a team that's won multiple titles like the Golden State Warriors, you definitely can't let your guard down, and they definitely have their work cut out for them. And speaking of having their work cut out for them, Celtics forward Al Horford, he put the work in game one of this series. Here's Al talking to the media.
It's been different, you know, just because it was my birthday yesterday, so, you know, just a lot of people, you know, texting me happy birthday, like all that stuff, and then playing basketball this time of year, you know, it's something that I always wanted to do and be in these positions, so it's been exciting for me, and really I had no expectations how it was going to be, but, you know, after a win you always, you know, you feel good, but you know, I just kind of bring myself back down and understand that, you know, it's only one game and there's still, you know, a lot of work ahead.
All right, that's Celtics forward Al Horford. And now Celtics forward Jason Tatum. Here's what he had to say to the media.
I don't think so. You know, I had more assists than points last game. So I feel like I made the right play more often than not. It's not much to overthink. You know, I feel like it's a lot of shots, open shots that I miss that I, you know, more often than not that I make. So it's not something that, you know, I'm losing sleep over. You know, we won. That was most important, right? You know, it's the finals. You know, that's all that matters. Obviously, I know I gotta play better. You know, I can't shoot like that every game and hopefully that we win. You know, so I expect to play better, you know, shooting-wise, but, you know, just impacting the game in different ways to do my part in, you know, helping us get a win. You know, I will continue to do that. And, you know, just read the game, read each play. You know, that's how I, you know, kind of approach next game.
All right, that audio again courtesy of the NBA and Jason Tatum talking about his approach to game two. Didn't have a great game one, but was effective enough to help the other Celtics contribute any way possible. Let's move along now to the other side of the court for the Golden State Warriors. His head coach, Steve Kerr.
Yeah, I mean, it's the value of experience, playoff experience, is you really do understand the ups and downs of a playoff series. And it's really important to turn the page one way or the other. You know, if you win and you get happy and you let your guard down, then, you know, you're in trouble. And if you lose and you feel sorry for yourself, then you're in trouble doing that too. So it's all about how you respond. And these guys are, you know, the best athletes, best competitors on earth, and a huge part of competition at the highest stage is your emotional and mental approach, and that has to be consistent.
All right, that audio courtesy of the NBA and Golden State Warriors head coach Steve Kerr talking about the mental and emotional approach coming into this series, particularly for game two. Here's one half of the Splash Brothers, Klay Thompson, speaking to the media.
I need to make more shots. I need to take more shots. We need to get more stops. And I need to just be myself and yeah, that would be one of the greatest to ever shoot it. So I'll rely on that. I thought it was great initially, and then I thought it kind of withered as the game went on. So we played about 40 great minutes, which will not get it done at this point in the season. So we're going to play with desperation, and I think that's when we're at our best.
All right, that audio again, courtesy of the NBA, and Clay talking about his performance in Game 1 and the approach that they need to have in Game 2. And speaking of taking a much different approach for Game 2, Warriors forward Andre Iguodala. Here's what Andre had to say to the media.
That's a good question. So, you know, it's really for the guys that are playing with, you know, different reasons. You know, some guys may not understand the magnitude of it all, and it's not their fault. It's just, you know, it's your first time, and you're trying to process, you know, everything that comes with being in the final. And then it's for, you know, it's other guys, is they understand, you know, this doesn't happen so often, and I think what's happened with our group or with the group, and you named it, I spoke about it before Game 1, you know, I don't think the overall sentiment for those three guys after we won the first one was that they were going to continue to be this dominant this long. And I think we take it for granted because we're so close to our athletes now. You know, we're so close to them in social media, we start to forget and take for granted how we should appreciate them a lot more. You know, it's a really long run to go to the finals. This group, 6 out of 8 or 9 years, whatever it is, it doesn't happen every day. Only the greats, the real greats do it. You know, LeBron's the only one around our era that's been able to have the same effect in terms of winning and getting this far. And we made it look normal to where people have taken it for granted or can take certain shots at us. Whereas, in previous generations throughout sports in general, people understood how tough it really was, and now it's just so much access. We think it's just like kind of like a walk in the park. Like, hey, let's just go down here and play basketball in the finals again. Where it's just a really tough road. So, understanding the importance is each chance you get, you got to try to maximize it because you don't want to look back and think, you know, you let one get away. So, you know, that's the sacrifice of playing through certain things.
All right, that's Warriors forward Andre Iguodala just talking about the experiences that he's had being a part of the Golden State Warriors, NBA Finals championship teams, and just not taking anything for granted and just living in the moment and just looking back and just not having any regret as he's continuing to just process things with the Warriors and just, you know, taking it all in and just taking it one step at a time. And someone that is experiencing his first finals, that's Warriors forward Andrew Wiggins. Here's Andrew as he talked to the media.
Yeah, well, you know, when we first start making the finals, first few runs, it was, you know, we were the young team, seeing if we can adjust, seeing how we in-game adjust as well as between games. And, you know, you pair some sentiments with them now is that they're the younger team. You know, how do they adjust within the game? And, you know, with the background of the coaching staff and, you know, with the Spurs, having a great understanding and making runs. You know, I think they're doing a good job of buying into everything that Coach Ime is saying to them. So, but we've had a lot of experience as well. So you've seen our experience put us in a good position Game 1, and then you've seen how they're young and they're hungry and they've made adjustments to do what they needed to do to take the game 1. So it's going to be a really good chess match, and like I said, I'm looking forward to it.
All right, that's Warriors forward Andrew Wiggins talking about looking forward to the challenge of Game 2 against the Boston Celtics. And finally, Golden State Warriors guard Steph Curry speaking to the media.
I mean, if you're not down about it and you're not in your feelings, then that's a problem because then it doesn't matter. You know, you just – it has to – you have to feel it. How much it lingers, that's the test of – you know, to Marcus' question, just how do you bounce back? You go home after the game, you're probably thinking about every play that happened, what you could have done differently, whether the defensive rotation, a shot that would have went in, a decision you make, whatever it is, those things kind of, you know, circle in your head, and you probably lose a little bit of sleep that first night. Then you come back the next day and realize, you know, you have an opportunity to protect your home court again on Sunday and just keep things moving and get yourselves back into the series. So the locker room after the game one was rough. Like, we all know the opportunity we let slip in terms of, you know, that fourth quarter. but it doesn't kill your confidence that you can't come out Sunday and win that game. And that's what we're going to do. So not much has changed from the last from 18 or any of those finals appearances, and really in terms of me personally, you know, how I've evolved, it's just continue to try to play at a high level, understand the game, understand the things that can happen in a playoff series and in the finals, and adjusting accordingly as you go through it.
All right, that's Warriors guard Steph Curry just talking about how that loss in game one was a tough pill to swallow, and him along with his teammates had to digest it and just sleep on it for a minute and find a way to come back and have that resiliency for what's ahead for game two in this series. And that's going to do it for this edition of At the Rim, as I get you caught up for the upcoming game two of the 2022 NBA Finals between the Boston Celtics and the Golden State Warriors. I'm Ed Robinson. Until next time, so long, everyone.
They can get you anything. Uh-huh. New wheels for your ride if you want to be a street king.
Yeah. It's time for summer with Street Kings back to the street sale. Get 20-inch wheel and tire sets starting at just $50 a week. Or 22 starting at only $60 a week. Brands like Azara, Cavallo, VCT, and more. Use their 90-day same as cash plan. Street King is loaded up with off-road packages. Brands like Fuel, XD, Moto Metal, Monster, and more. Located in Baton Rouge at 7221 yeah. Airline Highway, just north of Greenwell Springs Road. Google Street King or visit GoStreetKing.com.
Be a street king. Street King, yeah. They can get you anything. Uh-huh. New wheels for your ride if you want to be a street king.
Yeah. It's time for summer with Street Kings back to the street sale. Get 20-inch wheel and tire sets starting at just $50 a week. Or 22 starting at only $60 a week. Brands like Azara, Cavallo, VCT, and more. Use their 90-day same as cash plan. Street King is loaded up with off-road packages. Brands like Fuel, XD, Moto Metal, Monster, and more. Located in Baton Rouge at 7221 yeah. Airline Highway, just north of Greenwell Springs Road. Google Street King or visit GoStreetKing.com.
Street King, yeah. They can get you anything. Uh-huh. New wheels for your ride if you want to be a street king.
Yeah. It's time for summer with Street Kings back to the street sale. Get 20-inch wheel and tire sets starting at just $50 a week. Or 22 starting at only $60 a week. Brands like Azara, Cavallo, VCT, and more. Use their 90-day same as cash plan. Street King is loaded up with off-road packages. Brands like Fuel, XD, Moto Metal, Monster, and more. Located in Baton Rouge at 7221 yeah. Airline Highway, just north of Greenwell Springs Road. Google Street King or visit GoStreetKing.com.
Street King, yeah. They can get you anything. Uh-huh. New wheels for your ride if you want to be a street king.
Yeah. It's time for summer with Street Kings back to the street sale. Get 20-inch wheel and tire sets starting at just $50 a week. Or 22 starting at only $60 a week. Brands like Azara, Cavallo, VCT, and more. Use their 90-day same as cash plan. Street King is loaded up with off-road packages. Brands like Fuel, XD, Moto Metal, Monster, and more. Located in Baton Rouge at 7221 yeah. Airline Highway, just north of Greenwell Springs Road. Google Street King or visit GoStreetKing.com.
Street King, yeah. They can get you anything. Uh-huh. New wheels for your ride if you want to be a street king.
Yeah. It's time for summer with Street Kings back to the street sale. Get 20-inch wheel and tire sets starting at just $50 a week. Or 22 starting at only $60 a week. Brands like Azara, Cavallo, VCT, and more. Use their 90-day same as cash plan. Street King is loaded up with off-road packages. Brands like Fuel, XD, Moto Metal, Monster, and more. Located in Baton Rouge at 7221 yeah. Airline Highway, just north of Greenwell Springs Road. Google Street King or visit GoStreetKing.com.
King.
It's time to think about shopping for pharmacy benefits very differently. I'm Karthik Ganesh, CEO of Empirix Health, the only value-based PBM in the country. Did you know the mix of drugs in your pharmacy basket is the problem with your pharmacy costs? The waste in your basket is the waste in your drug spend. Empirix Health optimizes the drug mix for your population by working with doctors to prescribe the right medications for patients. No financial gains, just healthcare done right. Visit empirixhealth.com for more. It's time to think about shopping for pharmacy benefits very differently. I'm Karthik Ganesh, CEO of Empirix Health, the only value-based PBM in the country. Did you know the mix of drugs in your pharmacy basket is the problem with your pharmacy costs? The waste in your basket is the waste in your drug spend. Empirix Health optimizes the drug mix for your population by working with doctors to prescribe the right medications for patients. No financial gains, just healthcare done right. Visit empirixhealth.com for more.
In world-defining moments, perspective is everything. The Economist is all about journalism that's rigorously researched, independent, original, and insightful. We interpret developments to reveal the bigger picture, to sharpen your understanding of everything from climate change to voters' rights, the war in Ukraine, to the midterm elections. Head to economist.com/understanding and subscribe to bring the world into focus.
MFS Investment Management. Our active 360 approach to fixed income goes beyond analyzing financials. We combine active security selection and risk management, striving to make the most of complex bond markets. MFS.com/active360.
There's never been a better time to find out why BetMGM is the king of sportsbooks. Download the BetMGM app and place a $10 moneyline wager on any NBA playoff game. If either team hits a three-pointer in the game, you'll win $200 in free bets. Just use code EASY200 when you make your first bet. Sign up now and discover BetMGM's daily promotions, boosted odds specials, and more. Download the app or go to BetMGM.com and use code EASY200 to win $200 if either team hits a three in any NBA playoff game. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. Louisiana only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable free bets or site credit. Free bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700 in partnership with Sam's Town Shreveport Casino. BetMGM is pitching baseball fans a chance to swing for the fences. Register using code EASY200 and win $200 in free bets when you place a $10 moneyline wager on any Major League Baseball game and either team hits a home run, regardless of your bet's outcome. Enjoy baseball like never before with BetMGM's daily promotions at your fingertips all season long. Sign up today with the king of sportsbooks. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. Louisiana only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable free bets or site credit. Free bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700 in partnership with Sam's Town Shreveport Casino.